IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa. I'm your host Anupam Gupta, and I'm thrilled, indeed proud of today's episode. My first guest, a legend, an icon, and one of the greatest actresses of Indian cinema, Sharmila Tagore. I'm also thrilled to have a daughter, renowned actress and author Sohail Ali Khan, and my third guest, Anita Bhargav, co-founder, compliance officer of the Bharosa Club. We're going to talk about journeys in money, mistakes, learnings, hopefully have a lot of fun also right after this short break. For more in-depth discussions on various financial products, subscribe to Paisa Paisa with Anupam Gupta on YouTube. Elevate your financial knowledge and empower your growth today. And if you want to reach out to me, I am your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. You can check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And welcome back. Very tough for me, but here we go. Ma'am, Soha, Anita, welcome to Paisa Paisa. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Thank you for inviting us.
It's an honor. Soha, it's great to have you here. Anita, thank you.
Thank you.
If it wasn't for you and the Bharosa Club.
My pleasure, and I'm grateful to them.
Yeah. It's a dream episode for me, you know, really. And when I say dream episode, I'm dropping a very slight hint to Sapno Ki Rani, but let me just take that away from that. Truly grateful to all of you. Ma'am, let's start with an introduction, because our listeners must really be wondering. You know, it's been almost 7 years of talking with financial guests, and this is the first time that I've had an icon of your stature. An introduction and just a brief overview of your personal journey in your finances.
You know, I started working pretty early in life, and I started earning pretty early in life. I mean, although, you know, the fees were not as wonderful as they are right now, but again, things didn't cost so much. I remember I got paid. Actually, my father said, we don't want any money. It's a great honor to work with Satyajit Ray. But nevertheless, he gave me a sari, he gave me a watch, and he gave me 5,000 rupees. So instantly, being a Bengali family, we went to the gold. Library?
I thought library.
I just walked into that one. But
with rupees and finance, so we went to the
gold bazaar
or gold shop, wherever. And you know, we bought bangles, we bought a necklace, and we bought earrings for that 5,000 rupees. So it was not like, so while the money was less, things were also not that expensive, you know. For 5,000 rupees, what can you get? Can you get even a little bit of gold now? So I started earning pretty early. And then, of course, there was a gap. I finished my education. I went to school. And after that, I started working professionally in Bengali cinema. And I started earning a little bit of money, probably 10,000, you know, those days. And then my first Hindi film, I got 25,000.
Wow.
So, and at that time, I remember Shakti ji told me, he had signed, because he introduced me in Hindi films, so he had signed me for 2 films. So after Kashmir Ki Kali, I had to do another film for 25,000. So he said, you know, instead of giving you money, why don't I give you land in what is now Villa Pale?
Okay.
So I said, are you mad? I mean, am I going to come and live in this swamp?
Can you imagine?
I'm just processing.
That was back in 63.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, I started earning.
Who was advising you at this point?
At this point, nobody was advising me. Otherwise, I would not have probably.
And property.
So what I'm saying, there was no avenue as such for investing. And in any case, I was alone. I lived alone. When I was, 16, 17 at that time, I couldn't be even bothered about housekeeping. I stayed at Taj Mahal Hotel, and my mother couldn't chaperone me because she had 2 other girls. So I was on my own, doing my own thing. And I couldn't be bothered. So Shakti ji said after a couple of years that, please move into why must you stay in a hotel? You know, rent a place or something. So what I'm saying, that just settling down and dealing with everyday life. Work I loved. I went to work and I did everything. But dealing with housekeeping and whatever. My car wouldn't start every morning because either there was no petrol or there was something happening. And then when I got into my house, I couldn't get into my apartment because I didn't know where the key was. So it was like too much. So at that time, financial, you said, the only thing I could understand was investing in land or in jewelry.
Right.
There was no third option. Sure. Unless you could buy a house and rent it out. But I hadn't reached that stage, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I bought my apartment for 3 lakhs. And oh my God, it was such a struggle to arrange for that 3 lakhs. Because that time, we were paying enormous tax. Enormous tax.
It was at that era.
Income tax, wealth tax. And there was something called debt duty at that time. So there was no scope for a capital building.
Sure, sure.
So we odd jewelry here and odd land, of course, I didn't buy, but jewelry I bought.
Mm.
And so that was my financial sort of beginning.
Cut to, you know, the ups and downs that happened later. I think that's probably when, as I was speaking with Anita, is when things happened, you know, you had to learn a lot of things in a short period of time.
Well, there was Nani Palkiwala who came to our rescue at that time, saying that you have a very short life here, short period of earning. And why don't you have, there was some kind of a life insurance thing, which you will laugh at now. So we gave all our money. I mean, we kept whatever we needed. The rest went into
insurance policy.
Insurance policy. And even now I get 12,000 rupees or 20,000 rupees every 3-4 months from those LIC policies.
Wonderful. So?
Slightly different story.
Sure, go for it.
No, I understood the importance of earning money, and as the third child, wanting to be financially independent very early on so that I could make my own decisions and live life on my own terms, which was very much encouraged by my parents. Also moved out at the age of 18. And my first financial lesson was probably from my father when I was in school, when I was given 500 rupees as a present in August. And he said, of course, it's yours, you can spend it, or you can give it to me. And I will give you 50 rupees every August, which is a great interest rate, 10%. I didn't know what banks were charging at that point. And so that's what I did. I gave him 500 rupees. And honestly, till the very end, he was giving me 50 rupees every August. And I understood the value of saving, of not spending everything. And I've always been good with money. You know, my credit card is always used as a debit card. I like to pay my bills on time. I live within my means. And where I felt I was faltering perhaps 10 years ago when I was earning, perhaps earning at a peak, I was not allowing my money to make money. A lot of it was lying idle. I perhaps didn't know enough and wasn't getting any advice. So I felt there was a lot of money lying in FDs, for example. A lot of people invested in fixed deposits, which was not earning very much. I had a lot of money lying in sort of very liquid form, again, not earning very much. So I wasn't sure exactly where to put this money, and I was very risk averse. So I didn't want to lose my capital, and I wasn't sure how to. Of course, I knew a little bit about mutual funds, but I still felt that my money was also spread out with lots of people. A couple of banks, a couple of, you know, investment advisors and companies. Nobody was really talking to anybody, and I wasn't getting a comprehensive view of my funds and how they were diversified and, you know, what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, that happens to a lot of us, right? We just wake up one fine day and say, ki chalo, aaj yahan dal diya, wahan dal diya,
yes.
There's no plan, there's no goal, you know, what we call as goal-based planning.
Yeah. Right.
And stuff like that. And then one fine day, we probably have a reckoning or we have...
And say, what's happening? This is out of control.
That's what, yeah. Yes. I mean, and that kind of shakes our assumptions about money. And that's what's going to be my next question to you. Like, what were the assumptions that you used to hold at one point of time about money? And then maybe you learned things the hard way.
I started thinking of money seriously when Saif was born. Then suddenly something happened to me, you know, like otherwise I would really not plan at all. Like I didn't think of money at all. Like if I wanted to walk into a shop, instead of buying one dress, I will buy 15, I won't wear 13 of them, you know, like that. There was no focus at all. Then I started thinking seriously about money. And And then, of course, one was relying, this is also again back in the 70s, when it's only after the 90s things happened. So so I would talk to people, you know, word of mouth, somebody would say, do this, and somebody would say, do that. And again, it was back to those basic things. But after 90, I remember I went to Los Angeles, pre-90s. And as you know, that when you walk into a hotel, they ask for your card.
Credit card.
And I said, I don't have a credit card. And everybody sort of rolled their eyes and looked at each other. And my host really got nervous. He says, you know, if I give my credit card to her, and if she runs up a bill, what will happen to me? But very reluctantly, he gave his credit card. And to my credit and his credit, I didn't let him down. But after 90s, there were opportunities. And we were getting paid more to begin with. We could save more and we could invest more. So I started with, you know, some sort of mutual fund. And again, I really wasn't paying very much attention. Unlike Soha, who's been, you know, has worked in Citibank and et cetera. So I wasn't interested in money. I wasn't focusing on money. So I would ask Tiger and, you know, that's how it went on. But at some stage, actually as late as COVID, I started focusing. I said, well, I need to, and this was, of course, after Tiger had gone, and I said, I need to take things in my hand. I need to understand. It can't be rocket science. And I don't need to, I mean, I need to understand what my advisor is saying. So I started asking questions. I started, where is this? What is this investment about? I had no idea about index fund or anything at that stage. I had no idea what the hidden fees were all about. So when I started asking questions, things were not connecting, you know? Wow. I mean, suddenly I realized that I was investing somewhere in Australia in real estate. And why would I want to do that?
On the basis of someone's advice.
Somebody's advice. And this was, I don't know whether I should say this, but who was SEBI-regulated whatever.
Sure.
So, you know, so then I said, who do I trust? I mean, what's happening? And of course, Soha would, you know, give me good advice sometimes. And so
sometimes. I like the little sometimes.
So, but, so like trial and error, I was limping along. Then I started looking at all my investment. I realized that all of them really were making money out of me, you know, and I can make more money. And at that stage, I came across Bharosa Club.
Yeah.
And Anita really helped me to understand the basic thing. And I, you know, while talking to them, I had a better understanding. And, you know, I mean, I realized that even if I, they can't let me down because they're just showing me the path. They're not really telling me to do anything. You know, what I do is what I see and what I understand, you know. So there is, it's like, you know, we spend so much time on our makeup or, you know, buying the right color for ourselves. I mean, finance is so important, and particularly for women, I would say, that what they earn, they have control over their money. And there shouldn't be any guilt or any self-consciousness involved in that.
Yeah.
It's important.
Anita, it's a very important point that ma'am just mentioned when she said that her investments, I mean, whoever advised was making money out of her.
Right.
That's one of the things that, and I want to talk to you, Soha, later about the trust angle, because I know that that's something that is very important. And I mean, the whole concept of a SEBI-registered investment advisor, an RIA, I've written a book on that, I've spoken to so many, is that they're supposed to be fiduciary, fee-based. Can you just walk us through what happened here?
So, okay, so when we connected on this and stuff, what was done was Sharmila Ji's portfolio was uploaded on our system, and we have technology that does a deep dive into the portfolio. And one of the things, you know, when she spoke to me, and of course, I was really honored to help her in her portfolio because I've been a fan and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, let me really see. So see what's happening. When we had a look, we found that there were investments that were made, and, you know, clearly Sharmila ji thought she was going to a SEBI-registered RIA, but she was not actually giving a check.
Wow.
She was not making a payment. So something was odd somewhere. And so, you know, the thing was that we had to really change her portfolio. Her portfolio was basically a mess. So she had over 30 mutual funds. Now, we all know that mutual funds are diversified and you don't need to have over 30.
30,
30, yes.
Wow.
Okay, so now she has under 10. Her fees were 1.6% of her AUM, which is also fine if your performance is great, right? But most of her funds were not beating their benchmarks.
It's still AUM based. It's not a flat fee.
Yeah.
It's not like you're cutting a check of, say,
exactly.
1 lakh every year to someone, irrespective of what your AUM is.
She only had a few debt funds which were indirect. Everything else was regular. Then the other thing that was really odd was she was taking certain bets without knowing she was taking bets. So she was betting on healthcare hugely. Not small bets, big bets. On healthcare, China, real estate in Australia. Right? And this is not tiny amounts of money, but big amounts of money. Then besides mutual funds, she had PMS, she had AIF, then she had stocks and things like that. So it took a while because, you know, I was basically a translator for our insights for her. So our system, the Bharosa Club technology, was throwing out these insights, telling her that these units are free, not beating the benchmark, you can sell them. And she actually got a flat fee-based advisor who she paid. She paid every quarter. She actually cut a check. And today, her portfolio is in a really happy place.
It's good to know that.
So it's taken time,
yeah,
but it's happened.
So trust, fiduciary.
Mm.
I know what your learnings are out of this one. My head is exploding, but
yeah.
What do you think? I mean, trust is important, right?
Of course, trust is important. And I think that when it comes to your finances, you can't blindly trust anybody, and you shouldn't. I don't understand how you can work so hard and then leave it to someone else to manage for you and then turn around and say, oh, you know, how could this happen and how could they do this to me? So I think one of the most important things is that even when you let someone advise you or, you know, take control of your finances, you don't relinquish control ever.
Yeah,
I think it's very important to have, you know, performance reviews. I think it's very important to sit on a regular basis, ask questions. And I always find it useful, like when you go to a doctor to get a second opinion and you weigh one against the other. And if you have somebody who disagrees, then you take that into consideration. If they're both in agreement and, you know, you understand that both of them are not coming from a position where they're earning money from somewhere else or they're getting a fee from somewhere else. Then you can consider that opinion and also weigh in a little bit yourself. Now, I feel like a lot of us who are working and who have a number of things on our plate don't have the time to be on top of what is happening in the market. What are the right decisions to make? We do want to also pay somebody to advise us, and we expect them to deliver and not have hidden fees. So transparency is also very important. So I understand that I definitely need one of the assumptions when you're talking about assumptions. My assumption was that advice would be expensive. But I also understand lack of advice can also be expensive.
Yeah.
You know, people tell you about cryptocurrency. People tell you, again, money lying in liquid funds where nobody's telling me what to do with it. And I really don't know what to do with it. So if you can get good advice from somebody who is registered, who is not getting, I understand this whole system of earning money and paying a flat fee, etc. But you have to know how much you are willing to give up. And you have to know how much money you're parting with. And at a certain point, if your portfolio is so big and they're earning a percentage of this huge portfolio, it's just not justifying that. Then you cut that short and you say, now I'm paying you a flat fee going forward. While that portfolio is growing, perhaps you can agree to whatever it is, whatever you're comfortable, 1%, 1.5, whatever it is. But you have to know. And that transparency is important.
So, you know, I'm going to flip this. Like, you've probably given an audition maybe for a role or something. But if we say that someone is giving an audition to you for becoming an advisor, right? How would you build trust in that kind of a person? What would that process be? Or, you know, you don't know this person.
Correct.
Let's just say that you have a line of maybe three or four people coming up and saying that we want to handle your money. How do you build that trust? Obviously, it's not going to be like one audition. It's probably a process. It'll take time. So
of course.
Both of you can just help me on that. Swai, you want to go first?
I mean, firstly, I can just tell you in terms of what I did. I started small. And I started with a reference. I mean, this person has come into my life referred by somebody who I also trusted. And then you don't hand over everything and close your eyes. You give them a certain corpus of funds and see how that has grown and how things are happening over a certain milestone. You sit with them. You talk about your goals. You talk about your risk profile. You talk about the assets that you want them to manage. And they explain to you, you know, and then you see how things go. And I think that if you, like, for example, there's technology also where at the click of a button, you can see all your assets, you know, in under one online roof, so to speak. And you see how things are going. But having said that, even today, and, you know, Kunal also, we have these conversations all the time with the limited amount of stock exposure that we have. We, you know, he to checks on a daily basis. Have you seen this? It's gone up. It's gone down. This person gave us good advice. This person gave us bad advice. So you must always keep yourself curious, aware, get information from everywhere. You know, you come across so many people now who are talking about things. People have branched out into investing online and they take out a lot of time, you know, 2-3 hours in the morning doing this. So I think it's always important to keep your eyes open, to keep your ears open, and question this person that you're working with also.
Ask questions.
Yeah. Ma'am?
Well, see, from when you're hearing Soha and see how astute she is, and she, you know, everything takes time, right? And she's prepared to give that kind of time, that kind of attention to minute thing. But they're different temperaments. And since I grew up at a different age and a different way, so I'm perhaps not that terribly interested in money. Like my husband said, you know, it's the most exciting thing is to, you know, make money on money, you know. But it never really interested me. I don't like gambling. I don't like... So I really cannot add to or say anything about this, but it's a newfound interest and a newfound emancipation, I would say, or because I realize everything does boil down to economics. It does boil down to money, right? So you can't ignore it. Like you do house cleaning and decorating everything or decorating yourself, but your base is money, and you cannot ignore it.
Yeah.
So I think also, I'm learning, and I'm learning terminologies. I'm learning how to read. I'm right at the beginning, beginner stage, but I'm taking it very seriously.
So, sorry, you were saying?
Now I was thinking, like, for example, if you demystify the jargon,
yes,
then it becomes, if you just make it simple for people to understand, like a contract, for example,
right,
then you see the basics, the ethics are the same. It's not very, it can be very complicated, but I'm talking about from our perspective, what we want from our portfolios. It's not that complicated.
I heard a Citibank reference comment.
Yes, even if they're giving us jargon, it is for us to
tell
them that please tell
explain
us the base.
What does this mean?
I understand.
Yes.
And if they don't give us that answer, then he's not my person.
That's a red flag.
It's a red flag. Soha said something really important and interesting. Start small.
Yeah.
Start very small. Like you cannot learn swimming till you get into the water. But do you have to get into the deep end? No, you can get into the shallow end. And then ask questions. You must ask questions because otherwise you'll never know whether you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing.
So I heard a Citibank thing somewhere there. So what was that about?
I mean, I worked at Citigroup.
Nice.
Private bank.
Was this US, India or where?
No, it was in Mumbai, in Lower Parel. Then they moved to BKC. In a private bank that existed. There were two people in the private bank at that point in 2002.
Career switch from...
it was a good thing.
Okay.
I wanted to be on the other side.
Well, the more interesting thing that I wanted to talk to you about was discussing finances with your partner. You just mentioned about how you and Kunal talk about stocks and what's doing good and what he doesn't...
He talks at me about stocks. He said, you have not checked today.
But this is, you know, I've spoken to so many people Couples. About this whole thing about, you know, partners talking about money, yes, no, how, what, when. What's your thought on that?
I don't know. I think it's... finances, I've noticed, are touchy, you know. It's like, for example, I'm not a sharer. When it comes to my chocolate cake, for example, I'll hide it in the fridge.
I'm very insecure. Desserts are sacred.
I didn't go to boarding school, though. I don't know where it comes from, but I hide it.
Desserts are sacred. Let's just...
But Kunal is a sharer, so he's very generous with food, I'm talking about. You know, so I don't know. I feel like I earn my money. He earns his money, for example. So I don't want to be questioned as to, you know, how many kiwis I'm buying or why am I, you know, spending so much money on food, for example. Like it's, I feel like, but I think if you're being dodgy, transparency is important. You shouldn't be hiding something. You don't have to share everything, especially when it's your money. But we, of course, have shared responsibilities. You know, we're parents, you know, we have school fees, we have whatever holidays that we do together. Those are shared finances as well. So I like there to be transparency. I like him and respect him because he's generally a transparent person to the point of, I'm like, I don't really need to know all of the information that you're sharing, but that's his personality. And I think similarly, I perhaps not as much, but I'm also transparent. But there's certain, like, you know, all of us have certain habits, you know, that we certain, you know, he, for example, buys a lot of shoes. And, you know, he might be embarrassed if someone says how much, you know, although
how
apparently,
much you spend on the
apparently
shoes?
They're not expensive sneakers, they're just cool.
Sneakers, yeah. I was waiting for that word to drop out
sneakers,
there.
Yeah, sneakers, not like shoes, sneakers. But the point is that these are not expensive things, but they're apparently
they take
just
up a lot
cool.
of space.
Yeah.
My mother's just coming from that angle when she comes home and she's like, you have a wall of sneakers. Shouldn't they be inside the cupboard? She doesn't understand. This has to be on display.
Yes, of course. That's what's the point. What's the point?
It's an investment. It's an investment, it's not a work of art.
Ma'am, did you have any such indulgences, or do you
on clothes
or anything?
Yes, probably
saris.
Yes. Saris,
she wears the most beautiful saris, so it's got to be saris.
Yeah, I'm very indulgent about my garden.
Okay,
I like collecting plants, I like having a beautiful garden.
Wow,
I mean, again, that's time consuming, but
it's also fulfilling, I'm sure.
Fulfilling, but as I'm, you know, getting older and older, I want less. I want lots of money, but I don't want possessions.
Not a crime to want lots of money. Small break. Okay. I'm just winding down the episode now. I want lessons, right? Biggest lessons that you've learned, biggest lessons that you've learned. And start with you, ma'am.
Like I think I said earlier, that you cannot give somebody else the responsibility of what you need to do. So you have to be involved. Like, for instance, if I'm acting in a film, I have to do the work. I have to learn my lines. I have to prep. If I want to be good, then I need to be okay in front of the camera and not really nervous also. You know, I have to control myself, my emotions. Same thing like with money, you have to be involved. You have to know what you want to do with that money, you know? So that is an important lesson I've learned very recently, because earlier I was not paying any attention whatsoever. Now I know, you know, how much I'm spending, how much I'm earning, when I can go for a holiday or not, what I can buy or not. So buying a car and everything is so much easier because I know exactly at what time something is maturing, something is. So I think I feel very liberated. I feel really I've grown up, you know. So, and less dependent on other people.
Yeah. What is the process like for you to understand what are mutual funds? You know, here sometimes even I don't understand, but what was that process like and how did you?
Well, like I said, it's not rocket science. It's as Soha says, it has some, I mean, every word. I mean, when you go to a conference room, everybody is using
abbreviations,
yeah. You know, for everything. When you go to the developing world, they're also using. So to understand what they mean, and you don't have to feel belittle yourself or feel stupid that you don't know. All you have to do is that, what does this mean? And somebody will tell you. And when they say that, you will understand that.
Yeah.
And when you understand that, it will be easier to read your portfolio, easier to understand. At least at my level, it's not very tricky, so I can understand it
I'm
quite well.
I'm replaying that process in my head and I'm like, if my kid is listening to this, he should hear this because that's a great way to understand anything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You can just
yes.
pick up anything with that.
Yes.
It's,
ask
it's
questions.
Just so simple. Yeah.
Yes.
Ask
don't
questions
be afraid
and
to
learn.
Ask questions.
And the moment you don't, it'll just go by. That moment will go by and the other person will know that you don't know. And that means that person A will lose respect for you and will take advantage of you.
And there's a massive cost to being ignorant about your own money.
Absolutely.
Right? Because that is going to cost you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're lost and if you don't when you know you're lost, you must ask, where is that? Do I take the right turn? Do I take the left turn? Yeah. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you can be
just
in
lost
a fog.
Forever, yeah. Swa, biggest lessons?
You know, I think it's important to know, even when you're in a household, for example, someone told me the other day that women are earning money now, but the patterns of expenditure between a man and a woman in a house are also very different. So, for example, the woman is paying for the household expenditures. She's paying for the children and, you know, clothes and things like that. The man is paying the EMIs. So the assets are all in his name, even though they're both spending equally, perhaps, and they're both earning equally, perhaps. So that was an important learning for me, to understand, where is my money going and is it earning something? Do I have assets in my name? I think the other thing is just simply learnings are, have a budget, have a goal that is time bound, and then start to put away a certain amount of money, save every month what you can afford to save, and inculcate sort of the discipline that you have, perhaps when it comes to your workout, for example, when it comes to your diet, when it comes to your health, towards your finances, such that you invest regularly, consistently throughout a time period with a long-term perspective, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think about something happening tomorrow. You think about something happening maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years down the line.
Yeah.
So if you are able to put, even if it's a small amount of money that you put away month on month in something that is safe, in, you know, a blue chip mutual fund or whatever, something that where your capital is secure, then it is possible to build a corpus.
Yeah.
And then insurance, you know, you insure your assets as well.
I want to talk about something that you just mentioned in passing, and I kind of just caught on to it because I think it's very important. Assets in your name, right? I mean, when you're in a relationship with someone and somewhere you just assume that the asset is in, you know, your partner's name or whatever it is. I've had a lot of experiences with business families where things have not gone right.
Right.
Assets not being in your name. Can you just talk a little bit more about that and your opinion also on this? Because, you know, sometimes when you take something for granted, that ye iske naam pe to kya hoga, kuch nahi hoga, etc.
Right.
Then life kind of teaches you a pretty rough lesson.
Yeah.
Can you just spend some time talking about that trust, assets in the name?
Everything that I've bought, you know, my assets as in houses and things, cars and things, or anything material, jewelry, whatever, has always been in my name.
Hmm.
It's not being shared. It's not in my husband's name. And what Tiger has been in his name. And of course, he made a will. I mean, in Islam, we are not allowed to make a will. So so you have to think about that you can give it to non-heirs, but you cannot give it to your heirs. It's 25%, 50%, that.
Yeah.
So that needs to be very well understood. We have a lot of land, so that needs to be looked at and controlled and make sure that whose name. I have three children. So, and that takes, oh my God, that's such a headache. So make sure that everything is in order.
That's crazy. Yeah, because I've had, when I speak to a lot of families who've, and this happened a lot during COVID, when you had a very unexpected, very unfortunate demise in your house, and suddenly you find that everything is in a massive mess.
That's terrible.
Overnight you wake up and everything has changed.
You can't leave that kind of legacy.
Yeah.
No.
That's,
you can't cause problem in your
children's
life.
And that's why I think it's very important to have nominees also for your assets.
Absolutely. Everything. Yeah. You know,
and that's another way.
And also, as far as concerned, that all papers and everything should be signed and dotted. And
So assets in your name. Yeah. I mean, does it make sense to keep a list or at least be aware that this is what you
have?
We are
big fans of lists.
Oh, nice. How about that?
And writing things down. I think you just absorb things. And, you know, there's a recall.
Yes.
And even though my father said, never write anything down, you know. But I think it's important to know certainly what you have. And you don't have it unless it's in your name.
Hers is everything is in her phone. I wouldn't want to do that.
Actually, not. It's not on my phone.
No, not anymore.
I still have physical, pen and paper.
I'm just amazed at the journey out here. You're starting from gold, land, and then you're coming all the way to mutual funds and stocks, and you're just so.
And having been through PMS, AIF, everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel.
A different kind of PMS.
Yes.
It's been a really. It went against my grain, you know.
Yeah.
It was not something natural, it's something that I embraced.
But you enjoy talking about it now. You speak, you know, you've got.
Now I feel that at a glance, I know everywhere what is.
I think she feels in control.
Yes. And that gives me a great sense of comfort.
Independence, probably.
Yes. Yeah, no, and comfort, because comfort, I know at this point how much I can spend, how much I can't, and where what is. So that's, I think, yes.
And she's always asking me, do you know what your monthly expenditures are, what your annual expenditures are? Have you written down what your monthly expenditures are and your annual expenditures are?
Where it is, and you know, where you can control if you need to control, etc.
Is there any family competition of my mutual funds are doing better, your mutual funds are doing better?
Of course,
Okay. You've already given a lot of learnings for our listener, for our viewers out there, especially the young women. But anything else that you just want to just throw in there, add in that you're thinking that, that
I just
this
feel,
is what...
I just feel sometimes women are diffident or not shy. What is the other word? They just feel that they can't openly say, this is mine and this is yours. It'll be kind of, it'll show that you don't trust the other person, or it feels it's sort of lack of, something. But I don't think there is any need to feel like that. You should be very clear. You know, like if I borrow money from her and then I give it back to her, whether it's 5,000 rupees or more than that, right?
Yes.
So you'd have to be very clear about money. And of course, if my partner wants to borrow money from me, I will give it. But if it borrows a huge amount, then perhaps I will have something in writing or something, some kind of an understanding. So that sort of thing has to be very clear, even amongst the family. Yeah. I think so, because, sure. Who knows? So one must be clear about money.
Yeah, I think Amma said that, like, you know,
and you shouldn't feel shy or guilty or, yeah. Those feelings shouldn't enter into the equation.
Yeah.
Saying when Amma comes and if she runs out of money, she'll say, can I borrow a couple of thousand rupees from you? And then, you know, she always returns it. And I'm saying, you know, it's really not necessary. But it is clearing things, you know, because today it's 2,000 rupees. Tomorrow it might be a larger amount of money. I might feel awkward about the fact that, well, actually, you know, how long is this going to go on for? But, your hisab is clear.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be, again, misconstrued as, you know, it's not right for a daughter to ask that of a mother or a husband and a wife to have that kind of relationship. I think that's when things get confused.
Yeah, yeah.
So conversations, I think, need to be clear. Not offensive. People shouldn't take offense. And that's when sort of little exploitation can happen and things like that. But in terms of a message, I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of young women earning money now, becoming financially independent, but that education perhaps is lacking in terms of what do they do with the money that they're earning. They often turn to their husbands or their brothers or their uncles or a male member of the family to tell them what to do with that money, where that's not necessary. You have places like Bharosa Club. You have people, who are professional advisors, and you yourself can educate yourself to a point whereby you can find instruments that are safe and effective, where you should be putting money away in assets that are in your name. For tomorrow. And if, for example, you are the person that people depend on financially, then it's very important to insure yourself and your assets, whether it's life insurance, medical insurance, etc.
Sure. Usually I get pushback when I talk about this, that yeah, bahut jargon bahut hai isme, samajh mein nahi aata hai. And, it's too difficult for me to understand.
Do a lot of people watch your podcast?
After this, I hope so.
Because we've tried to keep that jargon very minimal.
We've done a fantastic job out here.
Yeah.
But when you encounter, maybe some pushback or some people saying, yaar, ye nahi samajh mein aata hai, what would you tell them?
Said earlier that I would say just make an effort. I mean, you are probably blocking it because you are probably getting put off by it, because you're not enjoying it. It's not like watching a film and something is being thrown at you and you're absorbing it It's not that. It has to be interactive. Sure. So therefore, you're saying, I don't understand it. You understand everything if you put your mind to it.
Sure.
So you're shying away. There's nothing wrong with that, those words or jargon, as you say. You're not making the effort to understand it.
And it's better to ask the questions before you feel like you've made a mistake and then you turn around and say, why is this happening? And you didn't tell me this. And,
you
put the blame on someone else. It's before you need to ask the questions, it's important to know.
Sure. Anita, all yours. Anything that you want to add out here?
Okay, just wrap this up. I think both Sharmila and Soha have really been, have said everything that, I would also say. The one thing I feel that a lot of people should do is try. Soha said start small. I completely agree with that. And mutual funds are really a good way for people to start small, because today you can invest as little as 10 rupees in a equity index fund.
Yep.
Right? So for the price of 10 rupee SIP, so in 1 year you have invested 120, the learning will be immense.
Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, keep some money safe, invest in equity, because you're becoming a desh ki tarakki mein hissedar, okay? And learn, ask questions and stuff. Now, at Bharosa Club, what we are really doing is we are building a 24/7 monitor for your portfolio. So you will get WhatsApp messages to keep you informed and help you make better decisions. You may be your own advisor. So if you're a very well-informed person, you don't need someone else. You're a do-it-yourself person. Or you may be working with another advisor, right? But being informed is really important. And what we've done is we've tried to keep the price really low. It's as much as a cup of coffee a month.
Yeah.
So that anyone, no matter what the size of their portfolio is, can do a check on their portfolio and a monitoring system on their portfolio. So, you know, satark raho. And first of all, do it.
Yes.
And then be aware, ask questions. And, you know, pretty much that's it.
Folks, the episode with Sahil Bhargav was done last year. Please check it out. The details of the Bharosa Club are all out there on that episode.
That's
and of
right,
course,
yeah.
The Bharosa Club has a detailed YouTube channel. You can check that out for long webinars that Sahil does.
Yes.
And that is it. That is a wrap on this very special episode of Paisa Vaisa. My guest, Chanmay Tagore, Swali Khan and Anita Bhargav. Thank you, Anita. Thank you, Swali. Thank you, ma'am, for doing this for our listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anupam.
Thank you. And listeners, if you like this podcast, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel where you get to watch the full video episodes. You can check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, I'm your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. And thank you, really, folks. Thank you so much for listening to Paisa Vaisa.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.